This is the Peter B. Collins Show from Green 960 San Francisco. Find out more about Peter B. at green960.com.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, a powerful antidote and elixir for the toxins of right-wing talk radio. Your humble host is on vacation. You can call in on our regular toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B. So pick up the phone and show some love from the left coast for the man from bradblog.com, Brad Friedman.
My time was running wild, a million dead end streets, and every time
you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, Brad Friedman, as PBC said, he's out there in the Buckeye State, Ohio, and we're wrestling technical demons, but we're going to win one way or another. Because there are changes coming, and that's what we're going to talk about. Hillary Clinton's concession speech over the weekend. We've got a couple of some of the lead Hillary supporters out there are going to join us to tell us whether Hillary did the trick or not. First up, we've got Taylor Marsh from TaylorMarsh.com, the blogger, all-around troublemaker, lovely person, and radio host. She's got her own show Monday through Thursday, noon to 1 p.m. Pacific time. You can tune in via TaylorMarsh.com. Oh, Taylor, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Brad. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thanks for being here. Boy, you wouldn't believe what has happened in this first hour and the technical
nightmares.
You know
what? It's radio. Whatever can go wrong will go wrong.
It does, and it has. But now we got you. And speaking of which, I don't even know if we can take callers anymore. We may try to take one at 888-5-PETER-B. But most importantly, we have you, one of the leading voices for Hillary Clinton out there on the internet. You were not happy with Barack Obama. Did Hillary Clinton do the trick over the weekend? And did she seal the deal to bring folks like you over to Obama?
Well, she gave the speech of her life. I think it was an historic speech. She asked for supporters to rally behind her and keep McCain from winning in November. And I said for weeks and weeks and weeks, I was always going to work against the McCain presidency. That was never a question in my mind. I'm a Democrat at heart, and I'm also an American first, and I really think he's got the wrong prescriptions. I don't think he has. I think he's a war hero and a tremendous American, but I don't think he's the right person to be president. I don't like the neocons whispering in his ear. So I think she gave an amazing speech. I think it's the best in her career. It shows you just how far she's grown as a candidate.
Mm-hmm.
I think as far as supporters, it depends on what group of supporters you're talking to. I think a lot of people are going to respect what she says. I think a lot of people, you can't ask people to switch on and off like a light. They need some time to get over this. They really thought she was going to win this. Some think she did win it. There's some dissatisfaction. People are still really angry about the way she was treated. They take it personally. Some of the campaign tactics on both sides. It was a rough campaign, and not everybody is an activist and does this professionally mm-hmm. and can just say, okay, the primary is the primary. Now it's general election. I mean, as you know, George H.W. Bush called Reagan's economic policies voodoo economics, and then ended up as vice president.
Right.
the primary season and the general election, people have their hearts involved. They have their hearts, and it's going to take a long time to disengage. And the other side of it is Barack Obama's got to reach out. A lot of the voters that Hillary Clinton started winning in big numbers at the end because Barack Obama finished very weakly, he hasn't reached out to them. So that's something that he's going to have to do.
Do you think that you were someone who was always prepared to support the Democrat, whoever it ended up being? Do you think, and I agree, by the way, it was an historic speech that she gave and quite moving in many ways. Do you think that, I realize we're speculating, but did she hit those notes that people not like you, people who were, you know, had really had it with Obama or, you know, who would turn to McCain, did she succeed in bringing some of those folks over? Or is this going to be a long process where she's going to work the road, he's going to work the road, and hopefully they get it nailed by November?
I think her speech on Saturday stunned a lot of people. She was so emphatic. There has been a lot of parsing about suspending the campaign and conceding and all this, and there was so much hope about on to Denver. And I remember when I started writing and talking about, even in interviews, that I don't believe Clinton has any designs on going to Denver and protesting either the Michigan-Florida thing or the nomination. I got creamed. I'm getting creamed everywhere right now just because I'm standing beside Hillary and doing exactly what she's doing. So I think there's a lot of people out there that are just stunned and trying to reconcile that she didn't win. And I think there's, she gave a great speech, but all those words and saying she's going to endorse, that she endorses Barack Obama and that we have to elect him, I think they fell on deaf ears for some people, because I think some people are really dug in.
And how are you getting creamed? These are from Hillary supporters who say, hey, you're going over to the opposition now, or what?
Oh, yes. I am getting,
really?
Now I'm getting hate mail from Hillary supporters that say that I am throwing her overboard. And when I did an analysis over the weekend at Pajamas Media, I did a post and an article on just how this, some of this, you know, post-mortem, you know, you've got to look at what happened.
Sure.
And what I do is I'm not a cheerleader, and I keep trying to tell these people. One of the things I do is I'm a political analyst and commentator. So, you know, you have to take off the emotions. I mean, this is my profession. So I think a lot of them felt that even though I was telling them what was going to happen, they feel that I am cheating Hillary instead of following her. And what I'm trying to tell them is that you're the one that isn't following her. And they are in full-scale war. I'm getting hate emails. I am getting commented into effigy across the blogosphere. It's quite humorous. I guess if I'm getting creamed by all sides, I must be doing something right.
I know the feeling, Taylor. We're speaking with Taylor Marsh of TaylorMarsh.com. Do you sense that those people who are creaming you, who are furious at you, are these really Hillary supporters, do you feel? There was, you know, talk about Rush and his Operation Chaos.
Right.
Is this a dirty trick or some of these people? It's hard to believe that no matter how bad things got between Obama and Hillary, it's hard to believe, frankly, that any supporter of either of them would not support the other one, you know, depending on who ends up winning, unless they're just bad guys and they didn't really intend to support the Democrat in the first place.
Well, I think I was talking about this earlier today in an interview. I think the identity politics that always drives our elections was taken to a new level because we had an African American and a woman. So that was taken to a new level. Everything is always about identity politics. It's always about the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very seldom do people, a few people do, but very seldom do people vote on the issues. It's their connection to the candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of, many of the people who are now very upset at me are indeed online. Online Hillary Clinton supporters. However, there's a whole world out there
mm-hmm.
that is not online and that don't read the blogs, believe it or not.
What?
And I think they are, a lot of those women are going to eventually, once the campaign really gets going, and I think that happens in September, even though the political junkies, it gets going now,
mm-hmm.
I think that they're going to see what's at stake. And depending on the 527s and what happens, I think they're going to vote for the man who can really deliver, that is the nominee, and that is not John McCain, the Republican.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there is, I think Rush Limbaugh and this whole Operation Chaos business, I think that was more about Rush keeping himself relevant
mm-hmm.
because he didn't have a candidate he liked. John McCain basically told him to go pound sand, and nothing, right-wing radio hates that. And I think it was really more about his own PR machine than anything else. I really don't, I haven't found any evidence that, it's real in any substantive way. So I think online, I think it's a mixture. I do think there is a great push by the McCain people, however, to go into blogs like mine and register comments and say how much they love Hillary and they're not going to support Obama. So I think that is the thing that's happening now.
Yeah, I think there's dirty tricks. I don't think, frankly,
I think
Republicans.
It's politics. It's not dirty. I mean, that's what, you know, what the heck.
Well, no, you're right. But the idea that there's this movement out there of phonies out on the internet acting as if they're supporting Hillary to some extent. But they're really working for the election of John McCain or of the Republicans. Yeah, you know, it's not illegal. That's why I call it a dirty trick. I think there's a huge amount of folks out there doing that right now. And
I don't see it. I don't see that as a dirty trick. No, I consider, you know, when I look back on history and I think of Nixon and I think of Segretti, I think it's harmless stuff. The problem is that some of the Clinton supporters on the web are so raw emotionally that they're falling for it. And they get mad at me because I say it's just emotions. I'm not trying to denigrate anyone because they're justified in some of their grievances. The thing that I just don't understand, and everybody that supported Hillary is certainly me. I worked my heart and soul 24/7 once I committed because I didn't want to, you know, choose a candidate this year. I think what they just don't get is to help Hillary Clinton and really support her, and to keep her voting bloc intact and her power intact, you have to follow the leader.
Mm-hmm.
If you diminish her power, you're only going to hurt her in the long run.
Hold that thought. Oh, no, I want to get those grievances that you're talking about and what they need to do to follow Hillary Clinton. We got to take a quick break here. We're speaking with Taylor Marsh. You can read more about her and what she's got to say at taylormarsh.com. Brad Friedman in for Peter B. Collins. We're going to take a quick break. Back with more right after this.
Are you interested in saving thousands of dollars on your medical expenses? You can travel abroad with OneWorldHealthcare.org to a top-class medical center and get quality care for a fraction of the cost. Savings of up to 75% are realistic. OneWorldHealthcare.org.
Little change music for you Brady Bunch and Barack Obama fans. Brad Friedman sitting in on the Peter B. Collins Show, speaking with Taylor Marsh. Don't make that face at me, Desi. Talking about whether Hillary helped seal the deal, if you will, in her concession speech to move folks over, her supporters, over to Barack Obama. Taylor Marsh from TaylorMarsh.com is sitting in with us for a few more minutes. Taylor, you said, I should add, a big Hillary supporter previously, still is, I assume, and therefore is answering Hillary's call now to go out there and support Barack Obama. Some folks are, some folks aren't. You mentioned some of the grievances that folks have. I presume you meant against the Obama campaign. What are those grievances, and what does Obama need to do at this point to speak to them and to bring in those Hillary supporters who are, as you suggest, are angry at him?
One of the things, I won't go down the litany, but I will say one of the things that I'm hearing from more people, more women and men than not, is really directed at the Democratic Party and the DNC itself. And they feel that the Democratic Party leadership did not address and ignored the media coverage and some of the sexism that prevailed, especially on cable, but also across the media, including print journalism.
Do you agree with that? Was there that sexism?
Well, I've done so many pieces on it. There were many progressive blogs that got caught up in it, and really the progressive blogosphere really took a hit.
Mm-hmm.
In this election. Not everyone, but quite a few did. I think where I disagree with some of the people I'm talking about that are emailing me, and I want to continue to say that there's a large group of Hillary supporters that are out there beyond these people. So I don't want to generalize too much, but they really feel that there was just unfair treatment of her. Kathleen Jamison did an amazing interview with Bill Moyers about it, and just how the pictures were, and the way, you know, Robin Givens' story about her cleavage, and the Democratic Party didn't do anything. They really sat silently by for the entire election season, and then I think it culminated in the RBC meeting on that Saturday, and people really got a bad taste in their mouth, and that did not help either.
So the grievances you sense are out there more against the party itself rather than anything Barack Obama himself or his campaign.
Well, I think that's part of it. I think the other part is they didn't see Barack Obama doing anything either. I think he really hurt himself and hurt his campaign going forward when he said, "You're likable enough, Hillary, in New Hampshire." I think when he made the comment that, and
Taylor, you said that these folks who I suggested were dirty tricksters on the internet. That's not really dirty tricks; it's just politics. I mean, did anything that happened here really rise above the level of politics? You know, an idiot reporter who talks about cleavage. I mean, these are seem like small incidents out there.
Well, it isn't when you have a woman trying to be commander in chief, and the guy is getting glowing press, and nobody's talking about him. And she is being demeaned simply because of her gender. That is a problem. What started this off with Robin Givens' cleavage column happened at the same time that Hillary was going up against Edelman at the Pentagon, because she dared to ask if he had a redeployment plan, and he said that she was basically helping the terrorists. So you had these dual things going on at exactly the same time. Talking about her cleavage, she's trying to talk to the Pentagon. Secretary Gates had to interrupt this, and this has nothing to do with her qualifications, and it demeans her as a person. It demeans her as a leader, and reduces her to body parts and a sexual being.
There's no question about that, but it seemed like that was more the exception rather than the rule.
That's not true at all.
No? Really?
No, I mean, if you look at MSNBC, some of the things that were going on in that network, not everybody, but some of the anchors on that network were just horrendously sexist in their coverage, and it just got picked up from one after another, talking about she had a cackle. It was nitpicking on the most ridiculous things that had nothing to do with.
I concur. It is nitpicking.
So,
it is ridiculous. But
you asked me about their grievances, and I'm just saying, I'm not saying right or I'm just telling you. And Barack Obama didn't say anything about him, and then he said that he thought he could get her voters, but she didn't think she could get his. Now, that's not a sexist attitude. That is one of the problems that he has with her voters. They felt taken for granted. So he's got work there to do as well. On the sexist side, you had, the sweetie comment from him, which he apologized for. And, it's just a cumulative thing that hit a nerve that a lot of women can relate to. And Hillary represented that as she tried to be commander-in-chief and was reduced to these ridiculous stereotypes.
It's going to be a long summer. Taylor, I got to get out for a hard break here. Taylor Marsh from TaylorMarsh.com. More on this topic with Larry Johnson after this.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show from Green 960 San Francisco. Find out more about Peter B. at green960.com.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. While I'm on vacation, I've left you in the capable hands of Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com. Once again, his Bradness.
Capable. Where the hell did he get that idea?
Oh, yeah. The big stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think
Well, that's what folks are asking about Barack Obama, at least those folks who supported Hillary, who still do. And they may or may not be supporting Obama, despite Hillary Clinton's wishes to do so. If you saw her speech, and it was impressive this weekend. It was a beautiful speech, I thought. She exhorted her followers to support Barack Obama. Some are, and some aren't. We were just speaking with Taylor Marsh, who is supporting her. Question is, will everyone else fall in line? We're going to speak momentarily, we hope, with Larry Johnson, former CIA analyst, a big supporter of Hillary's. And if we can get him on the line here, we're having trouble getting in touch with him. It's just been that kind of a day. He is not supporting Barack Obama, as far as I can tell. He's a former CIA analyst, a friend of Valerie Plame's, went to CIA school with him. With her, I'm sorry. We hope to get his thoughts if we can get him on the phone. As I say, it's just been that kind of day. But it's been that kind of presidency for George W. Bush. We'll hit a couple of news items here while we have a moment. Washington Post Dan Egan writes, today, as the doors begin to close on his tenure, Bush is increasingly drawing on selected events of the past to argue that history will vindicate him on Iraq, terrorism, trade, and other controversial issues. Historical analogies have become a staple of Bush's speeches and interviews this year. Whether he is addressing regional leaders in Egypt or talking to workers at an office park in suburban St. Louis, Bush will continue his historical focus in a visit to Europe this week, where he will commemorate the Berlin airlift in Germany and deliver a speech in Paris marking the 60th anniversary of the Marshall Plan. Unfortunately for the president, many historians have already reached a conclusion, and that is reflected in an informal survey of scholars this spring. Just 2 out of 109 historians said Bush would be judged as a success. A majority deemed him as the, quote, worst president ever. 2 out of 109 historians. Amazing. Everyone else, worst president ever. It's all he has left, said Millsaps College history professor Robert McElvain, who conducted the survey for the History News Network of George Mason University. Quote, when your approval ratings are down around 20 to 28% and the candidate of your own party is trying to hide from being seen with you, history is your only hope. Indeed, White House officials, on the other hand, dispute any link between Bush's recent emphasis on history and his disapproval rating, which is now the highest of any president since Gallup began asking the question in the 1930s. So, no, the historians don't think he's doing so well. On the other hand, Vice President Cheney, as they call him, disagrees. He argues that history will vindicate Bush. He said, speaking at a Washington luncheon last week, Cheney recalled that former President Gerald Ford was, quote, attacked from every conceivable angle for pardoning Richard M. Nixon, but he said that the consensus now is that Gerald Ford did the right thing. So, Dick Cheney is comparing the political issue of whether to pardon Nixon with the issue of destroying the Middle East, hundreds of thousands of dead people, torture, destroying the Constitution, getting rid of habeas corpus, running the economy into the ground. Well, things will turn around, I'm sure, for the administration. They are, no doubt, turning a corner. Gitmo interrogators were ordered to destroy interrogation notes. U.S. interrogators at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, were ordered to destroy any handwritten notes about the interrogations of detainees, according to a military defense lawyer for one of the detainees, Navy Lieutenant Commander Bill Commander Bill. The lead attorney for Canadian detainee Omar Cotter told reporters that while reviewing documents held by the prosecution's office, he read a Department of Defense directive instructing U.S. personnel to destroy notes in case investigations about harsh interrogation tactics led to interrogators being called to testify. The directive advised that, quote, keeping the number of documents with interrogation information to a minimum can minimize certain legal issues, unquote. Kubler said that if handwritten notes were destroyed in accordance with the standard operating procedure, the government intentionally deprived Omar's lawyers of key evidence with which to challenge the reliability of confessions made to interrogators. Kubler is seeking a dismissal of the charges against Cotter. U.S. guards have called Cotter, who was arrested when he was 15 years old, 15 years old. Unbelievable. The guards have called him, quote, a good kid who is not only salvageable, but actually runs the risk of becoming a radical if he stays in Guantanamo Bay. So once again, keeping these people in these prisons, not giving them their rights, not giving them their trials, denying them habeas corpus, torturing them, waterboarding them, and then destroying all the notes about it is making more terrorists rather than less. I feel, obviously, as I'm sure so many folks listening do, like this is a broken record at this point. What these guys have done has made things worse, not better. The only question is, what gets done about it? Where is Congress? Where is John Conyers? He's calling in Scott McClellan today, so he's calling in the press spokesman to talk about his book. And indeed, what Scott McClellan had to say in his book was remarkable. There's no question about it. But where's Karl Rove? Yes, he's been subpoenaed. And when he doesn't answer that subpoena, as we know that he won't, what is John Conyers and the U.S. House Judiciary Committee prepared to do about it? Anything? Anybody there? It remains to be seen. Meanwhile, Bush is making a farewell tour of Europe, and Progress Now reports that the mood of Europe is to say good riddance. Today, Bush leaves for his farewell tour of Europe, where he'll visit Slovenia, Germany, Italy, France, England, and North Ireland. Quote, while the leaders will be generous and polite towards a U.S. president who has plumbed unprecedented depths of unpopularity in Europe as well as in America, there is no doubt that the overall mood will be one of good riddance, writes The Guardian. Europe's social democrats declared last week they were anticipating, quote, life after Bush, which is more than many people can anticipate. Bush is expected to push Europe to step up financial sanctions on Iran. But it is unlikely European leaders will acquiesce to his demands since he remains so unpopular with European citizens. Go figure. All right, well, we're trying to figure out how to get out of this mess and move on to a new era. And Barack Obama, of course, promises to, and I should mention, by the way, I'm not a supporter of Obama, wasn't a supporter of Hillary's. I will not support the Republicans. In my opinion, they do not deserve to be allowed to have a candidate running for office at this point after what they did. Beyond that, however, I'm open. Love to hear what Obama's going to say. Actually, hope to have Bob Barr on later this week. He's running for the Libertarians. Like to hear from him. We got word out to Ralph Nader and Cynthia McKinney. They also going to be running as independents. But someone who won't be supporting Barack Obama, if his blog is any indication, joins us now, Larry Johnson. Thanks for hanging in there for us, Larry. Former CIA analyst, former classmate of Valerie Plame Wilson, big Obama supporter. I'm sorry, big Clinton supporter, not an Obama supporter. Oh, don't hurt me, Larry. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm well. Thanks, Fred.
Sorry we had such trouble getting in touch with you there. Glad we got you now. We just spoke with Taylor Marsh, who was a big Hillary supporter as well. I know you. I believe you know Taylor.
She's a good friend.
And she's answering Hillary's call to support Obama. Will you, Larry Johnson, be doing the same?
I will not, and I also will not be supporting John McCain. I view him. I think McCain's dangerous because he surrounded himself with some of the neocons who helped bring about the debacle in Iraq. So his willingness to consort with those people scares me.
Yeah.
But similarly, I look at Barack and his inexperience and his unwillingness to I think really reach out and be the kind of politician he needs to be. I'll give you an example. I had a conversation today. I'm going to protect the congressman. But as a member of Congress,
Yeah.
This individual was a member of the U.S. military, and this individual has received almost threats for having supported Hillary Clinton. Now, you know, if a savvy politician would reach out to people like this gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
But, the Barack Obama campaign, all they're doing is, they continue to assault people like that.
Well, all right. It has been, 2 or 3 days since Hillary has said, please go out and support Obama. I'm willing, certainly, to give him a chance to reach out to those people. I suspect he will. But when you say you're not a supporter of John McCain's either, is it not the case that if Obama doesn't win, it's going to be John McCain? And would you rather see that at this point?
I think for the long-term health of the Democratic Party, probably. Because I tell you whoever's going to take over this shot as president right now, the odds are they're going to be a one-term president. Because you're walking into office with a global recession underway. Barack Obama's on the record, as is Hillary, that you're going to raise taxes. I don't see how a party that's going to control, the Democrats are likely to control the House and the Senate. You control the White House. When you raise taxes in the face of a global recession, that's only going to aggravate that recession. There's going to be enormous pressure to reduce expenditures in areas of education and the things that favor progressives because of the rebuilding that needs to be done for the U.S. military.
So while you don't support, and I'm going to get to a break, we'll come back with more of these questions in a second, Larry, but while you don't support McCain, it sounds like you would clearly rather see him there than Obama for these various reasons, correct?
I am torn. He scares me.
All right. Well, don't be scared, Larry. I'm going to hold your feet to the fire a little bit after we come back. Larry Johnson, former CIA analyst and big-time Hillary Clinton supporter. We're going to see if we can build some bridges. We're going to try. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com sitting in for Peter B. Collins. Maybe even have our phones fixed. We'll find out after this break. Stay with us. Hang in there, Larry. We'll be right back.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show from Green 960 San Francisco. Find out more about Peter B. at green960.com.
We're back on the Peter B. Collins Show. Brad Friedman in with Larry Johnson, Katrina, I need you to turn down your music on that end. Talking with Larry Johnson about his fear, I think was the word you used, Larry, that you are worried about supporting Obama for various reasons, and now that Hillary is no longer in the race. In the meantime, let me add that I've got some folks over at BradBlog who are mad at you. Did you know that?
I got lots of folks who are mad at me.
All right. Well, let me tell you why. Do you mind if I read a quick email from
one of them? Sure,
sure. All right. This is just a piece of it. Let's see. He's got someone called, they're talking about you. He's got someone called Sugar posting as a black person against Obama. The fact that he is attached formally or informally to the intel community, working in Central America before the Contra stuff was over, and doing this stuff. I've taken out some of the profanities. This outrageously scares the hell out of me. This foaming pro-Hillary thing looks too much like he was told, paid to take this position. And this comes from a person who says they are not particularly giddy about Obama. It isn't partisanship at the base of my antipathy. How do you answer that? I've seen that before, Larry. A lot of people say, hey, this guy says he's former CIA. I think he's still CIA.
Yeah, the people watch too much television or movies to think that I always tell people they think CIA is this terribly malevolent, competent organization. And once you get on the inside, you realize it has more to do with Dilbert than Sean Connery.
Okay.
I try to moderate some of the comments. I
try to take people at their word if they say, you know, they're a black female. Though I do know one thing for certain. Mm-hmm. I have had a dramatic influx of angry premenopausal and menopausal women. And I know that because several have been sending me money to help keep the blog going.
Yeah.
And so they are their names, and that way you can verify it. There are some angry women out there. There is no denying that. I try to make sure that at least on my blog, we keep the racist stuff out of this, because I don't think this has nothing to do with Barack Obama's race.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's I don't see it so much as incompetent, but as just grossly inexperienced and unseasoned for what he would face as president. And that has nothing to do with one's skin color. I think, you know, that's just, in fact, I resent the people that try to drag the race into it. You know, there are photos circulating about called Barack's other family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've just refused to post those up on the blog because I think it's designed to incite some of the racist fear.
Now, well, speaking of inciting, are you familiar with this? I saw it posted at, and I apologize for not giving your web address,
noquarterusa.net.
Noquarterusa.net. I saw that you had picked up, or someone blogging over there had picked up the item of posting on the community website at Obama, at Obama's website, that was racist, anti-Semitic, and one of your posters, I believe, charged that, oh, look, Obama can't even control his own website. Now, I should say that apparently that web posting came from a right-wing group called something like Real Jews or something like that. Now, isn't that unfair to use what I see as a dirty trick?
Oh, no, I agree it's a dirty trick.
Yeah.
But like you and I, we both run blogs.
Right.
You know who you let post. You know, you've given me permission to post at your site. I've given you permission to post at mine.
Right.
But you don't let just anybody come through the door and post. And, you know, the difference between you and me, at least, I don't have anybody paid working for me, and I'm not making money off of that blog. Whatever contributions we've got have gone to defray the cost of the server. But, you know, what I don't understand is, how does a guy want to run for president and manage the federal bureaucracy, which means you got to get inside Department of Defense, the State Department, and the CIA, and yet you can't even manage your own blog to keep a bunch of crazies off?
Well, okay, fair enough, but neither you nor I run a community blog where anybody can just, you know, sign up and have their own blog. They have to get permission from you and I first. He's trying to do something different. Again, I'm not an Obama supporter, but I'm just pointing out the facts. He's trying to do something different, has opened it up so that I believe anyone can sign up and have their own Barack Obama blog.
And that's the kind of naive silliness I'm talking about, that however well-intentioned,
yeah,
you know, nonetheless, you're going to draw the cranks. And, you know, let's take it to international policy. If you take that same kind of naive approach with people like Ahmadinejad and Iran, say, well, you know, have the equivalent of the community blog, you know, come on.
Well, come on, Larry. Now, let's be honest. He's not going to be having a community blog with Ahmadinejad. I mean, this is trying to bring people into the process.
What he has said is that he was going to have talks without preconditions.
This would be, I understand that, but this would be.
I admit, it's a terrible parallel, but I agree that, you know, the dirty tricks are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I discourage anybody from doing anything like that at a Barack Obama blog. But the point is that if you're going to try to present an image of a candidate, you want to control that image to make sure that the people who post and say things reflect your values.
And if not, does not the fact that he was willing to open it up, does that not reflect that he's willing to take a risk with something like this, as far as inviting people into the process? This, after all, is not diplomacy with Ahmadinejad. It's a blog.
No, that's true. But I think the risk also runs that there are several other postings that have gone up,
mm-hmm,
that have listed themselves as close to Barack Obama, which, if you're going to run a national campaign, fair or not, those are going to be repeated and presented as reflecting his position.
Yeah.
So when you have socialists for Obama,
yeah,
claiming that they want to get rid of capitalism, You know, you already have the internet full of these rumors.
Oh, Larry, come, dirty tricks. It's
I agree. They are dirty tricks, and that's the part of it is you don't. Why lead with your chin where you create more opportunity for that? That's what I don't understand.
Well, okay, but let me answer that. Maybe you do that for the same reason that you do allow open comments at no quarter, or do you have to register and so on and so forth?
If I could find the right software to get people to register that it wouldn't screw the server up, I would require registration.
Okay.
So what we try to do is we moderate comments.
Right.
We've got several. We've had a real problem with people using multiple identities, but thankfully with IPs we can track them, and we're banning them.
Good. Well, you know, we try to keep the process as open as possible. That means a lot of stuff gets in that I don't agree with, that
yes.
I don't like, that I despise, but I would rather have people in the process than shutting them out. I think, for what it's worth, that's what Obama's trying to do, and I might say, and I think it's a little bit unfair then to use at least that against him, Larry Johnson. Just my thought.
And it is a free country, and thank God you are able to express those thoughts.
Well, and you, and that's what we try to do. You know that you and I don't have to agree all the time get along, and that's important.
That's the key, Brad, that, you know, because you and I have a friend, mutual friend, Wayne Williams, and,
yep.
You know, Wayne and I differ on a variety of things politically, but he's a dear friend, and we don't have to demonize each other because we disagree.
I got 15 seconds here. Scott McClellan has called in to speak to the House Judiciary Committee. Is ever going to be accountability on the Valerie Plame case, Larry?
I doubt it. I hope so, but I doubt it.
Yeah, I doubt it too. Hey, thanks very much. Larry Johnson, NoQuarterUSA.net. Much appreciate your time here today, Larry. I'm sure we'll talk to you soon in the future.
Thanks, Brad. Good to be with you, man.
All right. Coming back, we've got the Green News Report. John Gideon with the Daily Voting News.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show from Green 960 San Francisco. Find out more about Peter B. at green960.com.